This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. The big news in North Carolina today is that Governor Bev Perdue will not seek re-election in 2012. We'll take a closer look at that story with reporter Mark Binker when he becomes available later this hour. But first, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit is hearing arguments today from attorneys on two sides of a case involving schools and segregation. But it's not Wake County, a district that has gotten so much attention in the past couple of years for its changing student assignment plan. This case involves Pitt County. The district was formed when the Greenville and Pitt County schools merged in 1985. Both districts were under court order from the 1970s to desegregate, an order that still exists today. Last year, the district enacted a new student assignment policy. That prompted a group of concerned African Americans in Pitt County to sue, saying the district was not living up to its court-mandated desegregation plan. Education reporter Dave DeWitt joins me now to bring us up to date on what's happening. Dave, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Let's start with what's going to be argued today in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. What's the issue? Who's making the arguments?
Well, the specific issue is between the Pitt County Schools, as you mentioned, and a group called the Pitt Coalition for the Education of Black Children, and they're represented by the UNC Chapel Hill Center for Civil Rights. And they're specifically arguing today about the latest sort of disagreement in a long line of disagreements, and that's about the student assignment plan that was enacted this past fall and whether or not it lives up to this desegregation plan that Pitt County Schools is under.
Is under. That's interesting to me. How is it that Pitt County is still under this desegregation order that goes back to the 70s?
Well, that's and probably the best way to go about that is sort of describe the history. You know, many, many schools throughout the South, of course, when segregation in the 50s and 60s, you get to the 70s, they're all under desegregation orders at that point. Pitt County is no different. At that time, it was two different school districts, Greenville City, of course, the home of East Carolina University, and the Pitt County Schools. They both had lawsuits against them. They go into a desegregation plan. Pretty quickly, that case goes out of the courts and goes into, okay, here's your desegregation plan. You develop it. You make it work. They go about it. They go to try and make it work to desegregate those schools. Goes on for a couple of decades. You know, it goes into the 1980s. Those school districts decide to merge, like many school districts across the state of North Carolina. You think of Durham City and Durham County. You think of Wake and Raleigh, especially these districts that have a larger city and a county.
Right.
They decide to merge. They have to still, of course, desegregate under this plan. Many school districts then in the 90s go through this process of being determined unitary, which is you go to the courts and the federal courts decide that you've done enough. You've met your desegregation mandate. You can now be considered unitary and now you can do whatever you want. Charlotte, famously in 1999, became unitary and then they were able to sort of shed their desegregation plan. And now a lot of people argue that Charlotte is back to resegregation, but Pitt County never went through that unitary process.
I was going to say, this is not an automatic process. It's not like somebody's looking down from the heavens saying, yes, you've got it. No, you don't. The county or the school district has to go back to the court and
right.
say, okay, we've done it. Now let us out from under this mandate.
That's right. And school districts across the South in the 1990s and 2000s, and especially in the 2000s, have gone to the courts, been declared unitary, and been shed of these responsibilities to desegregate. Only a handful in North Carolina have not, and Pitt County is one of those. Pitt County goes through the process of student reassignment because Pitt County, because of East Carolina University's growth, has grown. It's a growing community. They have to do a lot of student reassigning. They go through the process, and that's when these sort of court cases back and forth and student or parent groups start to form to fight different aspects.
It's interesting that Pitt County would not go back to the courts and say, you know, we've met the mandate. Here we go. Let us out.
It is. And there's a lot of theories as to why they haven't. The most prevailing theory, especially those who are opposing the current Pitt County schools, is to say that they know that they aren't to that level. They haven't crossed that bar yet. They are not unitary, or they feel like they're not unitary. Back when in the, I believe it was the 2008, yeah, the a white parents group said, well, let's look at this process. Are we going to be unitary? They went to the courts. They didn't go seek unitary, but they wanted the courts to weigh in on it. The courts did weigh in and say, you need to go back and go to mediation, look at the student assignment plan you're doing. And the Pitt County Schools brought everybody in, including parent groups who represented largely white students, parent groups represented largely black students. They all sat down at the table, developed a student assignment plan, but the one they came up with was not was not good enough for the folks who represent the black students. They thought it was still a segregated past, segregated future. They didn't like it. So that's where we are today.
And I want to get to where we are today. I just want to ask one more question about what's the landscape in North Carolina. Are there many other school districts in the state still under that desegregation order?
There are just a handful. Pitt County, Bertie County was one that just came out, got its unitary status within the last couple of years. It's just a handful, two or three, the most that anybody can even remember or think about. And that compares to other states in the South as well. You know, South Carolina has dozens, Alabama, Mississippi, the Deep South. We see many, many school districts who have this issue of still being, not unitary, or the federal government has some control. But in North Carolina, that number is very small.
So the people who brought the lawsuit in this case, what is it they're saying about the reassignment plan that doesn't meet muster?
Well, as I said, Pitt County schools have grown quite a bit. If you go to Greenville and you go to Pitt County, you see sort of it's a very rural on the outskirts of Greenville. And then Greenville and Winterville are bustling communities. They're suburban. There's some urban aspect. There's like any other southern town. There's an African-American section. There's a largely white section. But because of East Carolina University, there's a lot of growth and there's a lot of diversity there as well. So they've got a lot, very similar in that respect to Wake County on a little bit of a smaller scale. So they've had to do some student reassigning. As they've gone through that process, they actually, in the latest reassignment plan, created an elementary school that was largely African American and poor and overwhelmingly low achieving. Not unlike what Wake County did recently when it opened Walnut Creek Elementary School. So the same kind of parallel things are happening. The differences are, of course, that Pitt County is under this desegregation order. They've never come out from under it. So there is some legal recourse that this group can take forward. UNC Center for Civil Rights can take forward and say they are not living up to these things that they said they would. We can go back and challenge it, and that's what they've done. Now, that case already went to the Eastern District of North Carolina. The Eastern District found for Pitt County schools. Now, they didn't say it's okay that you're doing this with the school with reassignment. What they said was the burden is on this parents group and the Center for Civil Rights to prove you're not, and they haven't to this point.
Is that how the desegregation order is set up, that it's up to a plaintiff to prove that they're being segregated, or does the school district have to prove that it's not?
Well, that's exactly, I think, what is at the heart of the legal discussions going on now. That's what the court is trying to decide. Who has the burden at this point? And the Eastern District said the burden is on the group. But historically, and I think the UNC Center for Civil Rights would say, the burden is actually on the school district because it's still under this desegregation order. And the Fourth Circuit will decide that. They won't decide it today, but they'll hear the argument.
About how long then that'll work its way through this court? A matter of weeks, months?
They're expecting about 2 months, but you never know. But that's the courts have indicated about 2 months.
All right. And how is this different from what's going on in Wake County?
Well, Wake County, of course, has never been under a desegregation order. They've merged. They've gone through this process of desegregating without the federal government either intruding or being involved in that at all. So as they've done that, everything they've done has been voluntary. So when Wake County schools back 10, 15 years ago decided to use first race and then socioeconomic status as a way to diversify schools, that was a completely voluntary thing. They weren't trying to reach some mandate from the federal government. I think that's an important distinction to make. So they never had to go seek unitary status. Of course, it doesn't get as much attention either. Wake County gets a tremendous amount of attention because not only is it in a high media area, but it's a lot more populated. It's the state capital. When things happen in places like Pitt County, it gets some attention in Pitt County, as you might expect, but it doesn't get a ton of attention here or in other major metropolitan areas. One other interesting thing about Pitt County as well, the Wake County School Board, when those school districts merged, and same thing maybe happened in Durham or Greensboro, Winston-Salem, they went through a process that was a little bit more both challenging, but they climbed a larger mountain in that they made things a little bit more streamlined. The school board in Wake County was a merged school board, but they keep it in a manageable number of people. The school board in Pitt County is 12 people because when they merged in 1985, instead of saying, okay, we've got a school board here of six and a school board here of six, let's go with like nine and let's redistrict and sort of figure that out. That's a tough process to go through. Right. Pitt County decided to just throw that
all together.
Let's all come together. And that creates a political situation that is very difficult to manage.
Well, we're talking about Wake County, so let's switch gears just a little bit and find out what's going on here in Wake County. Democratic majority on the school board has been in place now for a little more than a month. Has anything changed?
Not a whole lot has changed. There have been a lot of discussions, and a lot of the discussions are much different than the discussions used to be. The Wake County School Board now has decided to continue to go on with a student assignment plan that was developed when the Republicans had the majority, that was developed by Superintendent Tony Tata and a core staff group of people he put together, and is developed under sort of the consultancy of Michael Alves, who's come in and said, you know, it's a school choice-based model. So that plan is moving forward. Now, what you'll see is that some of the priorities may be shifted around. Before, proximity was sort of the king. If you lived near a school, that was going to be your school. Now you're going to see with the Democratic majority and an active Democratic majority, they're going to look more at diversifying the school's socioeconomic status and achievement as a proxy for those things. So it really won't play out. You won't see a huge difference in what's going on. But the interesting thing is they've moved forward with the plan they decided they were going to have. And now you see a lot of the Republicans who are on the school board looking to seek higher office, looking to get off that school board. So that's a big change.
Dave, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt is WUNC's Raleigh Bureau Chief and Education Reporter. Coming up after a short break, a Duke professor, Adrian Bejan, explains how the laws of physics govern everything from river basins to social organizations. Find out about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.